I ask if you will turn with me to the book of the Psalms, Psalm 95. The message this evening is going to be on a little bit different manner of presenting it. Oftentimes when I hold up the Bible and I say we need to study God's Word, and sometimes I don't go into further detail as to what's involved as far as studying God's Word. And as we think about studying God's Word, of course, reading it is wonderful. You can't go wrong reading it. Somebody sometimes asks, well, where should I start? Just anywhere. You can't pick a bad place to start reading in the Bible. Just open it up. Sometimes I just let it open up and there I begin to read, and oftentimes God says something to me from that very page. Other times He puts the subject on our minds and we start searching out that subject. In the Psalms, sometimes I've been guilty of almost treating them in the same way as the book of Proverbs. In the book of Proverbs, it's a collection of wise sayings. And sometimes one verse and the verse that follows it, you may look at it and say, that doesn't connect. Well, maybe it doesn't connect, but God inspired Solomon to write those things for our benefit. But in the book of the Psalms, which to me is one of the most beautiful books in the Bible. I told you this morning, Revelation chapter 5 is my favorite chapter in the Bible. The book of Psalms is one of my favorite books because as you read through the book of the Psalms, you realize that God used, well, He used David, but there were several other writers from the book of the Psalms, and He used them to express their feelings. And you'll notice that as you read through the book of the Psalms that sometimes you just want to close the book up and say, that's too dark for me to read those things. But I encourage you to continue on, because that's what I want us to see tonight. As you begin reading and you see the struggles that they had, you'll realize though that book was written some 3,000 to 3,500 years ago, they had the same problems then as we have now. The names may have changed, circumstances may have changed, human nature is still the same. And so therefore, as you read through them, you start studying the problems and the struggles that they went through, you realize that God sometimes let them go even lower than where they were when they began writing, and then He brought them back up. And you'll see that all throughout the Psalms, that He lets them express their feelings. I'm thinking about, and I'm just kind of wondering right now, but I think about when Moses got discouraged and God came down and spoke to him face to face as friend speaks to friend. And it was as though God said to Moses, of course God already knew, but He said, just tell me what's bothering you. Tell me what's on your mind. Express to me the things that you're troubled about. And isn't that what a part of prayer is? And the Psalms, though they were songs that were written, and I have to believe that there was music that was set to them, it's also prayers that were expressed. Lord, this is how I feel. And I don't know how I'm going to get through it. Sometimes God says, just keep talking. Have you ever noticed that maybe when people come to you, and again, I know I'm wandering, but I'm getting my text, I promise you, 95th Psalms, where I'm going. But sometimes people have something that's troubling them, and they come to you, and they say, I just need to talk to somebody. And if you notice, if you'll let them do the talking, more times than not, God brings them all the way around to the answer. That's what allowing us to speak to Him in our prayers. And I'm not talking about being irreverent toward God, but I'm talking about just being down to earth. This is bothering me. This is troubling me. I can't seem to get past this. I can't seem to get beyond this. These are things that are on my mind when I wake up in the morning. They're on my mind when I go to bed at night. And sometimes I wake up in the middle of the night. 77th Psalm is one where he woke up in the middle of the night and he began to express to God the things that were troubling him. And God brought him around even in the middle of the night as to what His presence would do for him. But I want to read Psalm 95. I want to read the first three verses, and then I want to go to verse 6. And then we'll go from there. We're going to cover quite a few of the Psalms. Not quite a few of them. Kind of a cross-section of them to get the idea. Psalm 95, starting with verse 1. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. Verse 6. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. May the Lord add His blessings to the reading of His Word this evening as we look at some of the passages in the Psalms that show us how that God allows us and why I believe, personally I believe, that it's good even when you're feeling low. You say, well, you might say, well, I just don't feel like opening it up. Force yourself to open it up anyway and force yourself to go to the Psalms and begin reading. And you'll see that before you realize it, even sometimes you don't even realize God is doing it, but all of a sudden the load begins to lighten and the shoulders begin to kind of perk up again and your head begins to lift up again. Oh, come, He said, let us come before His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms. Make a joyful noise with psalms. Using the Word of God to sing unto the Lord. Now, I don't know about you, but when I'm down like that, usually there's nobody else around. Usually I'm by myself. And I'll just give you a hint, that's when the old devil comes at us and tries to beat us down even further. When we separate ourselves out and we say, you know, I nobody wants to be around me anyway, so I'm just going to be by myself. And God says, you're not by yourself. I'm here. So just come on and talk to me anyway. Come on and show me. Tell me the things. Not that we can show Him anything He doesn't already know, but just come before me. And a good key to opening up that source of talking to the Lord is, first of all, saying, thank you, Lord, that I'm able to come to you. This morning I said that the top of my list was that I'm thankful for is Jesus Christ. And right below that is His Word. Because His Word tells me of what my Lord has done for me. His Word tells me of His compassion. His Word tells me of His love. His Word tells me of His grace. His love tells me that I'm never alone. His Word tells me that, and His Spirit confirms that in my heart. So I can come before Him and say, Lord, I don't feel so good, but You're here with me, so it's going to be all right. I know it's going to be all right, and I'm just going to praise You no matter, even if I don't feel like it, I'm going to praise You, Lord. I'm just going to lift up Your name, and if I sing out a key, you'll be alright, God says. You just make a joyful noise to me. You just come before me and you begin to praise and see how that it begins to lift your spirits up. You cannot praise God and be in the dump at the same time. It just doesn't work that way. You begin to praise God and He begins to lift you up out of that pit, as He says in Psalm 40. And He sets you on a rock and He establishes your goings. And He gives you a new song. That's what God does for us. And that's why the psalmist here in Psalm 95, God said to him, let's go to God. Let's just go to Him. Now, I'm going to confess to you tonight, there are times I don't want to be around other people. You ever felt that way? There are times that I just want to shut the blinds and close the doors and be by myself. But God says, when you get to that point, just start counting your blessings. We sang that this morning, I think, wasn't it? Count your blessings. Name them one by one. And you know what I normally say after that? I think maybe I even said it this morning. My blessings are too numerous to count. He says, that's okay. You just start counting them anyway. Instead of thinking what I don't have, be thankful for what I do have. Instead of regretting what may be wrong, be thankful for what is right. And so He says, let's come before His presence and let's come with a thankful heart. That's the key. to the fellowship with the Lord is having a thankful heart unto Him. And then as we realize the blessings that we have, that joyful noise is going to come. You see, as I said, I love the Psalms. I can identify with them. I can identify with many of the feelings that they have, and I'm sure that you can too. Whether you want to admit it to me, you don't have to admit it to me, but whether you want to admit it to yourself or not, I believe that you can identify with one or more feelings of the that are expressed in the book of the Psalms. You can read that and say, yes, sir, that's exactly how I feel, or I have felt that way before. And when that identity comes to you to say that I understand exactly what you're saying, David, or I understand what you're saying to whoever the writer was, Asaph, or whoever it was that wrote the Psalms. I can identify with that. And then that writer will say to you by faith, you'll hear him say, keep reading with me. Don't give up now with what I felt. Keep reading with me and let's see where the Lord is going to take us in this matter. Oh, come, let us worship Him. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. For you see, as you begin to identify them with them, what happens after that is you are introduced or reintroduced to the Lord. You're reintroduced to what He has done for you. You're reintroduced to what His promises are for you. You might say, well, I know the Lord, but sometimes we get a little forgetful. And sometimes I need to be reintroduced to people. And so as you read through the Psalms, you come to that point. And that's what Paul was saying in the scripture that I read at the beginning of the service. He said, I want to know Him. Wait a minute, Paul, you met Him face to face. You were with Jesus on the road to Damascus. That light blinded you. It was so glorious. And now you say, even years after that, you say, you want to know Him? Yes, I do. I don't care how many times you've read. I do care how many. I got to quit using that, don't I? I'm saying it too many times. But you understand what I'm saying when I say I don't care. I do care. It doesn't matter how many times you've read through the Bible. If you'll read through it one more time, you're going to find something that you had never seen before. I promise you that. You will find something in there that you say, I didn't realize that was in there. I know that I've read that verse of Scripture 20 times and I've never seen that before. That's the beauty of God's Word. It is that story that never grows old. And it's not a story. It's not a fable. It's the absolute truth. This was breathed from the very heart of God as He spoke directly to you. And He speaks directly to me. Now how precious is that? How wonderful is that? That we're able to hear directly from God. I guarantee you, if you went to the mailbox tomorrow and there was a letter and it was had the official seal of the President of the United States, you would open that up and you would want to know what the President had to say unto you, unless it would be to report to the draft office the next day. But you'd want to know what he has to say to you. You would be ripping that envelope open just to hear, to see what the President would have that he would want to say to you directly. And I'm telling you, there's one greater than the President of the United States that has written a love letter to you. Personally, to you. That's why the psalmist would say, let us. For you see, even as he was writing it, he understood God was speaking to him. And as he was writing it, I don't know if when David wrote, for instance, the 23rd Psalm, I don't know if David understood how many millions of lives that Psalm, that six or seven verses, would change as people would read what God had said to him. And yes, that is the truth and the beauty of God's Word. That's why I hold it up every Sunday morning and say, don't neglect the Word of God. You're neglecting your own well-being if you don't read the Bible on a daily basis. I don't know about you, but I like to eat more than once a week. I like to eat more than twice a week. I like to eat more than twice a day or three times a day. I pretty much have a trail worn to the refrigerator. I want more and more and more, and yet God has given us food for our soul. And we ought to be so involved in the Word of God. Now, all that being said, I want us to look at some specifics in the Psalms that speak to us concerning how God deals with His people even today. Turn with me to the second Psalm. There's just going to be some selected readings in the Psalms that, as we look at it. And it won't be the entire Psalms, just a few verses out of each one to see how that God begins to deal with us. For me, as you're turning to the second Psalm, I thought of how that in Psalm 46 and verse 1 to me speaks concerning the very heart of the Psalms. And again, I know I told you to turn to Psalm 2, but I'm just going to read this to you. But it's Psalm 46 verse 1. And that says that God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. David said in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 words what has taken me 10 minutes to say. You're never alone. And God is always speaking to you. He's always speaking to you. Sometimes you may say, I wish that preacher would quit. But I'm going to tell you, when you really are in tune to the Holy Spirit of God speaking to your heart, when you know for a fact that God is speaking to you, you'll say, I hope He never stops. I hope He never stops speaking to me and telling me concerning those things. He is a very present help in time of trouble. Psalm 2, verse 1. Again, this was something that was true 3,500 years ago. It was something that was true 2,000 years ago because the apostles, the disciples, used this very psalm to pray a prayer unto God when the council was after them trying to get them to stop preaching in the name of Jesus. They used this very psalm. And when we read it, you'll realize it's still pertinent right now also. Verse 1, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. You don't have to listen very long, whether it's on television or whether it's even right here in sometimes even in Brooklyn or in Statesboro. You don't have to listen very long to realize that there are people in the world today that are trying their best to break the bands asunder between us and God. They're trying their best to destroy the church. They're trying their best to destroy the fellowship that we enjoy. And so it was in this day when the king was writing this and he was looking at it and saying, why are they raging? Why are they imagining these things? Why are they coming up against us? Why are they trying their best to destroy us? Do you ever get that feeling whenever you're watching the news? Do you ever get that thought of why? Why are they doing this? And in my daily devotions, going through the book of Acts, you know, when they killed James and they put Peter in prison, as I read that this morning, I thought, why? What threat were two fishermen to Herod and the Pharisees? What threat could they possibly have been to them? The only thing they were doing was preaching a better way, preaching a better life. Preaching that through Jesus Christ there is peace, there is joy, there's contentment, there's fulfillment, there's everything that we're looking for in life. You can find it in Jesus Christ. And as a result of that, the Pharisees said, do away with them. Herod said, they're trying to infringe on my authority. Do away with them. Why do the heathen rage? Why are people so upset against the church? I don't know that I can give you an answer for that. Other than to say, when you keep on reading that, when it says that the kings of the earth say, let's break their bands asunder, let's cast their cords from us. In other words, let's cut off all interaction between the church and the government and the church and society. And, you know, they really don't want to do that. If you throw away the influence of the church in our world today, you think we live in a dark time now? You throw away the influence of the church and you'll see what darkness is all about. The only reason that we have any semblance of order today is because the church is still alive and active. And it shall be until the time Christ returns. What's God's response to that? For I've shared this with you more than once. I've just all but quit watching the news, even the local news. I don't enjoy watching the local news anymore. I watch the weather until they get political about it. But I don't enjoy watching that. But I ask myself, why? Why is this going on? Why are they raging? Why won't they just let us be? What does God have to say about that? Verse 4 says, He that sitteth in the heavens, we've studied about His throne the last month. He that sitteth in the heavens and on His throne, what does He do? He shall laugh. Do you realize God laughs? He does. It tells us right here. My question now, after reading this and knowing this is the Word of God, why, Steve, do you get so upset? It doesn't upset God. God's for me. So why should I get so upset because somebody that don't know what they're talking about is raging and being loud about all of these things, and they're talking out of line and talking out of order, and it says, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh, the Lord shall have them in derision. So many times when you read through the Old Testament, when the enemies would come up against Jerusalem and the armies would gather together and say, let's go out to meet them to battle. How many times, and I don't know the answer to this, but how many times did they go out there and God had already won the battle when they got there? By the time they got there, all they found were dead bodies. God says, now get their loot, get their food, get their embattlement, get everything, take it back home. They're not going to bother you anymore. Why can't I trust God enough to believe that today? I'm not talking about you now, I'm talking about Steve. Why can I not trust Him enough to say that God's got it under control? Go down to verse 6. What is God's answer? It's not just that He laughs. You know, sometimes when I get nervous, I laugh. It's because I don't have an answer. When God laughs, it's because He is the answer. Verse 6 says, yet have I set my King upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my Son. This day have I begotten thee. They can rise up against the church all they want to, but my God shall prevail. My Savior shall prevail. That Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, shall prevail. That Lamb, as it was slain, is standing steadfast today, and I can stand in Him. This is what the Psalms tell me. That though I may ask those same questions, why is all this happening? If I just keep on reading, it gives me the answer. And I can take a deep breath. And I can say, God's got this. It's under His control. He don't need me to have it under control. He doesn't need me to rant and rave and join with them when they're raging. I don't have to rage against them because they're raging against me. All I have to do is say, Lord, there they go again. And He says, I've got it under control. Don't neglect the Word of God. It's still just, when you hear people say that this Word is out of date, you can laugh at them because you know better. I'm not saying laugh at them. But just remind them, no, no sir, no ma'am. This is just as pertinent today as it was when it was read, when it was written. My God is in control. Go with me to the third Psalm. I can't tell you how many times this one has touched my heart. Psalm 3. Verse 1 and 2. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. And listen, when I read that, I don't always see people rising up against me. I see my own thoughts, my own imaginations, my own struggles inside rising up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. And he says, Selah. I know you already know it, but I'm just going to remind you of it. That word Selah simply means this. Stop and think about it. Just stop and let it soak in what was just said. Many shall say, there is no help. Am I going to believe many that say there is no help for him? Or am I going to believe that God says that he is a very present help and refuge? I choose to believe God. How about you? They can rise up all they want to and say, even God can't get you through this. And I'm going to say, you don't know my God. My God is able. My God is able to get me through. But what has really touched me is verse 3. That's why I say, keep reading. Don't stop. Don't stop when you say, oh, that's how I feel. Close it up. No. Keep reading. Because there's something really good that's going to follow that. And verse 3 says, but, there's my favorite word, right? B-U-T, contrast. This is what they say. But thou, O Lord, art a shield, you're a shield for me. You're my glory. And this next one is what stirs my heart every time I read it. And the lifter up of mine head. Can I read that one more time? God is the lifter up of your head. Have you ever seen a child when that child is discouraged? When that child has been challenged? When that child has been corrected? When that child is sad? What does that child do? Drops the head. The chin touches the chest. We don't always outgrow that. Sometimes when things don't get us go the way that we think they should in life, the first thing that we do is we droop our head down and the chin touches the chest. When you're in the presence of a child and they drop their head, especially if it's your own child, and you want to give them encouragement, and you want to show them compassion, and you want to show them mercy, what do? You reach out and you put your hand right under their chin. And what do? You lift their head up. And you say, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. I understand. You see, when Satan comes at us and says, even God won't help you, God takes his hand and he lifts our chin up and he says, I've got you. I've got you. And we're going to get through this one step at a time. I'm not going to make you run until you fall. I'm going to help you put one foot in front of the other. We're going to ride on top of this storm. We're going to go through this storm. We're going to go around this storm. Whatever it takes. Something that I read just this past week, after I tried to speak about the flying eagle being close to the throne. And what it brought out was the fact that most birds, when storms come, they duck down and they tuck their head under or even put it under their wings. But an eagle begins to fly, and an eagle flies over the storm. The eagle flies above the storm. The eagle is able to see clearly from the top. And when we get to the point that our heads are down, God says, look up. Lift up your eyes. Look unto me. Come unto me. All you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. I hope you learn to love, I know you already do, but I hope you learn to love the Psalms as much as I do for the same reason I do. Because I can't believe I'm the only one in this building tonight that ever has struggles and ever has trials and ever has problems and ever needs encouragement. I can't believe I'm the only one. But I'm telling you tonight that there is a place that you can go and you can find that sweet relief that only comes through Him. Go with me to the 13th Psalm. Psalm 13. And again, this is just a cross section. Every one of them is like this to some way, in some way or another. Psalm 13, verse 1. This one is a little bit different help than what I just gave you in the third Psalm. Psalm 13 begins with the question, "How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord?" If you've never experienced that thought, God bless you. You may never have expressed the words, but I feel certain that most of us, if not all of us, at some point have felt ourselves to be all alone. How long? How long will you forget me? How long do I have to be in this drought? How long do I have to be in this dry season? And then he asks the next question, which consists of two words. Forever? When we're in that dry season, it seems like forever, doesn't it? Again, if you don't know what I'm talking about, God bless you. And you've got another thing to add to your list of Thanksgiving this week. But if you've been there, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You maybe, again, have not asked that question, but you've thought it. How long am I going to be in this valley? How long am I going to be in this desert? How long am I going to have to try to just struggle from one day to the next? How long am I going to have to see the next day something else being piled on top of me? I remember a time, even as a pastor, that I got to the place that is not here, but years ago, I didn't want to hear the phone ring again. Because it seemed every time the phone rang, it was somebody else with another trouble, with another struggle. And I'm not saying I want you to call me if you need me. Don't get me wrong. But I'm telling you, for every one of us, for one reason or another, there comes that time that you say, how long is this going to go on? That valley ended also. And I got to where I welcomed the phone to ring again. It only lasted a day or two, but it seemed like it was forever. How long? How long will you hide your face from me? Why can't I see you? Why can't I feel your presence with me? Why? Why is it that my feet won't hardly pick up in front of the other? How long is it going to last? You notice God doesn't give an answer to that question. He doesn't. But He gives us the answer to that situation in verse 5. How long is this going to last? But, there's my favorite word, but I have trusted in Thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in Thy salvation. God hasn't said that it's ended yet. God hasn't said that feeling is over. Sometimes you have to reach deep inside of you for that faith that God has placed there to say, I don't understand it. I don't know why this is happening. I don't know how long this is going to happen. But as long as God leaves me here, I'm going to trust Him. It was Job, I believe, that said, though He slay me, yet I will trust Him. And so it comes to that point sometimes in our lives that we don't know what the answer is. We don't know when the end is going to come. But we're going to trust God. We're going to trust Him to see us through. We're going to trust God for every step of the way. We're going to wait upon Him. We're going to lean upon Him. We're going to fall upon Him if necessary. I'm going to trust Him, and when I'm trusting in Him, He's going to remind me of the salvation that's mine in Christ Jesus, and I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to rejoice in Him. Verse chapter 42. Again, I'm going quickly, but I just want to stir your minds, and I know I've got just a few more minutes. But this one more. It goes kind of hand in hand with what's been said. Because again, human nature is human nature. Psalm 42. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. People are going around in the world today looking for answers, looking for satisfaction, looking for contentment, looking for some place where that they belong. And here it is. There's only one who can satisfy the thirst that people present every kind of artificial and every lie that says, you try this and I guarantee you, you'll feel better. But here's the answer. The only one that can satisfy the thirst that we have, he acknowledges it in verse 2, my soul thirsts for God. The quicker that we can come to that understanding, the more problems and struggles we'll save ourselves from. The source of both the problem and then the source of the answer. I'm dry. I'm longing for something. I'm needing something. I don't even know what it is. But there's something inside of me that's driving me and saying, you're not complete. If we just come to the realization that that which is lacking in me is that close fellowship with God, and only God can satisfy that. Verse 3, my tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? Listen, you're not going to find pity from the world. You're not going to find pity from society. You're not going to find compassion from the people in the world that constantly have their hands out saying, you feel my hand and I'll give you the answer. God says, all you got to do is fill your hands with this right here, with His Word. Fill your hands with His Word. Fill your head, your heart with His Word, and He will show you the answer. When they say, where is thy God? You know, there's an answer. I don't know who came up with this answer. It's a pretty good answer. But I don't know that it really satisfies exactly when somebody comes to that point that they're asking, where is God? We hear it from the world when something tragic happens. They say, where was God when that happened? Why does God let that happen? Let me tell you where He is and where He was. We saw it in Revelation chapter 4. He's on His throne. He's the very, and this is where the answer, and I've heard it so many times, and it's true. He's the same place today He was whenever His Son was hanging on the cross, when I should have been there. When His Son took my place, He's still in that same place today, seated upon His throne in absolute, full, and complete authority. Why does He let things happen? I don't know. But all I have to know is I have one that I can trust. And His name is God. His name is Jesus Christ, my Lord and my Savior, that loved me enough to die for me. And if He loves me enough to die for me, then He loves me enough to help me live for Him. Because He's alive now also. Where is thy God? But if we only dwell on these first three verses, where we're going to go to is in verse 5. Why art thou cast down, oh my soul? Again, I'm not talking about anybody else but Steve right now. That's why I'm looking at the back of these flowers. There are some times that even as a pastor, you get so low and you get so discouraged that you just want to say, that's enough. You become so disquieted within. You become cast down. You get to that point where that you say, maybe I just need to go find a job somewhere, and then I can just come in and sit down and listen, and then I can go home. But you know what? It doesn't work that way. Every one of you that I look out, every one of you, including the youngest, you've got to the place that you understand you cannot escape life. You can't do it. So instead of trying to escape life, let's hold to that unchanging hand. Hold to the one who said, I'll get you through it. The one that says, I will not let anything overtake you but what that I'm able to get you through it. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted in me? Why would I not be disquieted? Why would I not be cast down? Because I have hope in God Almighty. I have hope in my Lord and my Savior Jesus Christ. I have hope in the one who has supplied everything that I have and has promised me that through Him I can do all things that strengthens me. I can do all things that lift up the name of Jesus Christ. And if I feel like that I'm running out of resources, He says, guess what? I'll supply every need that you have according to my riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I challenge you to try to run out of God's resources. I challenge you to try to use them all up. I challenge you to try to get to the place where God says, I can't do any more for you. I've had to say that to people, but God never has and He never will. He never has and He never will. So why am I disquieted? Why am I cast down? Why am I listening to Satan and all the devils who speak to my mind and try to get me to the point where that I just become so removed from what God has called me to do? And that's not just to the pastors, that's to every one of you. God has called every person in here for a purpose and a reason. God has given you a purpose in life. And I'm going to tell you, there is no discharge to God's service. That's not original with me either. You'll never get your discharge papers. You'll never get to the point where God says, you've done enough. You can sit down now. He may move us on to different things. I'm finding as I get older, there's certain things that I can't do anymore that maybe I could before. He says, that's all right. I've got something for you over here. I've got something for you to do here. I've still got plenty for you to do. And when it gets to the point that I think I can't do anything, He says, what about this thing called prayer? You can pray, can't you? You can lift up the name of the Lord. You can offer prayer. You can sit down with the bulletin and pray for every name on that bulletin. Everyone on our prayer list, you can call them by name. You see, you have a purpose. And when we get to the point where we say, I just don't have any reason anymore, then I become cast down. Then I become disquieted. And at that point I have forgotten where my hope lies. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. In Him, I trust the sweetest frame. Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help. And this was supposed to be a 15-minute sermon when I put it down. The Psalms are filled. They're absolutely filled with things where the individual that God inspired. And it wasn't somebody that was superhuman. It was everyday people just like you and me. He began the Psalm 23rd with David as a young teenage shepherd. And so many other psalms by people that you would look at them and they would be no different other than the way they dressed back then. They would be no different from you and me. And yet God used them in a mighty way that to this very day we can read those words and find encouragement from it. Going back to our text in the 95th Psalm, he says, let us sing unto the Lord. Don't let the world take away the music out of your heart. Don't let the world take the music out of your heart. As long as we know that Jesus Christ is my Lord, I've got a song to sing. And sometimes I've been guilty of making up my own songs as I'm going down the road. It just begins to come out, and I put it to a tune, whether anybody else has ever heard that tune or not. He's lifted me up out of the pit. He's set me up on a rock. He's given me a song to sing. Let us sing it to the Lord. Our text tells us, come before His presence with thanksgiving. I've got everything to be thankful for. Everything. Even my mistakes, I can thank God for them. Hopefully I've learned by them not to make them again. I've got every reason. Our text tells us that the Lord is a great God. I wouldn't dare try to improve on God's Word, but if I could take other places and put with that, not only is the Lord a great God, He's the only one. He's the only God. He's the only help. He's the only refuge. He's the only strength. He's the only peace. He's the only righteousness. He is our everything. And that's not just words that are said in empty thoughts trying to bring this message to a close. That's the truth. He's everything. Everything. You say, but I need... God's the answer. Now, He may not be the answer to your wants, but I assure you He's your answer to every need that you have. Father God, we bow before You. Lord, thank You for Your Word. Thank You that in Your wisdom and in Your understanding of our nature, that You've put into Your Word everything that we need for every circumstance we will ever face. Help us, Lord, to be involved in Your Word. Help us to just immerse ourselves into Your Word. Not that we can go around showing people how we can quote Scripture, but how that we can have that peace in our hearts. How that we can know that we know that You are real and that You are personable to us in every situation. And Lord, we can share Your Word, not just to say that this is what God's Word says, but we can say, this is what God has done for me. Help us, Lord. Help us to read it. Help us to study it. Help us to experience it. And help us to share it. In Jesus' name we pray, and amen.